This episode of Well Met is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo.
We're almost there. Quiet down, everyone. This is not like any of our previous expeditions. This will be far more ambitious.
You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
I did not realize how unready for this show to begin I was until I hit record and started playing the intro. Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 104 of Well Met. We are a Hearthstone podcast from BlizzPro.com. I'm sorry that everyone is so oblong and in the wrong position on the video. We've got our high-paid interns on it right now, a.k.a. me, minus the high-paid part. And yeah, we've got quite a show for you. JR couldn't make it. He's doing cool stuff. Oh, it's Royals home opener.
Hey. You watch it. You say about
anyways,
baseball, buddy.
I love baseball. Don't get me wrong. I would just never miss a podcast for it. Anyways, hi. I'm John Horseman from Denver, Colorado. Today is April 10th, 2017. With me, of course, is the crew filling in for JR this week. He's a regular. I have his nameplates and everything saved. It's the one and only Sam Benson. Every time I look at your Twitter handle, I want to say Ben Samson. Change that. Sam Benson, hey, welcome back.
It's good to be back. I'm the other Kansas Cityan because JR's not here. So I'm filling that quota. It's good to be back. And I'm not going to change my handle because apparently you have a thing with Pat Nagel and Ben Samson. Apparently it's a theme with you, JR.
Yeah, right?
Oh, excuse me, John.
I mean, I knew it.
I had John. I had JR on the mind. I've been thinking about him so much. He's been, you know.
He's John. You're JR. Get it right.
Got it.
Yeah, get it right. let's jump over. let's jump over to where is it? Baton Rouge, is that right? Baton
yes,
Rouge, Louisiana, with the one and only Tannen only Grace, middle name only, because
close
parents
enough.
Were lazy. I don't know. Hey, Tannen.
Hey, how's it going, John? I'm actually super excited about tonight's episode because I've actually been playing a lot of Hearthstone lately, so. I think this is the first week in a while that I can say I played more Hearthstone than Overwatch. So very excited for tonight's episode.
Wish I could say the same.
Yeah, although, you've been putting in the time.
I got to plat on my like main account. I got to diamond on my alt that I'm duoing with Rosh, but I've like my solo queue account, I got to plat. So I'm pretty happy about that overall. So it's anyways, this is a Hearthstone podcast to talk about Hearthstone and Hearthstone accessories. So, stop. You guys ever watch King of the Hill?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I loved King of the Hill growing up. I absolutely loved it. And I still to this day think it's one of the best and most well-written like animated comedies of all time. So, anyways, so let's go ahead and talk about some things because we have things to talk about. First, let's talk about our weeks in La Hearthstone, and let's jump on over to Sam. Sam, what have you been up to this week in the game?
In the game, I've been a little sick of quests. I tried it, like I think everyone did, but
it's free
I have
gold,
been developing.
Oh, the other quests.
Got it. Yeah, I've been rolling for 40 gold quests all week. Sick of the 60 gold. So I've been messing with a shaman deck. I've always been like to play. It's called Crusher Shaman, and it focuses on playing big dudes and and taunting him up and swinging the game in a single turn. I've been loving it so far. The Un'Goro set really complements that archetype well, just because you have so many like large minions to play now. Dinosaurs and all that jazz. I've been loving it. Otherwise, KC Firesides is doing really well. We've sold out of all of our tickets, and we're 3 weeks away from the event, and we're maxed out. So that is amazing. Nice. I mean, it makes me a little more confident to hold bigger events in the future. Aside from that, I'm really liking Un'Goro, really liking KC Firesides and the Fireside Gatherings program.
Nice. Hey, we're going to pick your brain a little bit more about the new stuff coming out for Fireside Gatherings. Surprise, surprise. And I'm excited. By the way, I did a drive. So I did a 26-hour drive. I talked about it a little bit last week. Drove through Kansas City. It's like the worst drive from Denver to Kansas City ever. So I'm looking for flights to see if we can make it happen. But besides that, Tannen, what have you been up to in Hearthstone?
You know, just piggybacking on what Sam was saying, man, I got to get myself up to Kansas City for a fireside. Maybe catch a Royals game, hang out with JR, hang out with Sam. We can lament on the fact that John's not there. Maybe get you to come, you know, if you bring the puppy. Only if you bring the puppy.
Oh my gosh.
I think it's adorable.
Choji was amazing. He loves driving. Yeah. Katie won't fly with him, though.
Mine does, too. He's a little too big to fly with, buddy. But my week at Hearthstone, I was genuinely excited to sign on to the client this week. Had the typical, you know, wait an hour and a half to get to open your packs, then get kicked out multiple times. But beyond that, I didn't experience any of the other problems that were going on that we're going to get into soon. Though I did do one of the dumbest things I've ever done in Hearthstone this week. So I have an account on NA, and then I have an account on EU. And my EU account is 100% free to play. And I've kind of like prided myself on that. I'm never going to spend a dollar on the account. And, you know, I've been, you know, a legend multiple times on it, yada, yada, yada. So I had a bunch of gold saved up from doing quests and stuff, and a bunch of dust saved up, like ready to play this set. And so I went into the shop, you know, got, you know, the pack ready and typed in, you know, X amount of packs, you know, to the 100th multiplier of my gold. And, you know, I got X amount of packs, went into the pack opening thing, opened the first pack. And I'm like, wait a minute, something's wrong. This doesn't look right. And I look at the cards that are on my screen, because, you know, you don't really look. You just like click all five of them real fast. Yeah. They were Mean Streets. Yeah. Oh, okay. You're weird. But they were Mean Streets of Gadget Sand packs, cards. So, yeah. I just saved up all this gold, made sure to do all my quests every day. And so here I am just scraping by on dust on my free to play account now.
Like brand new free to play. Yeah. That's the worst. Yeah. It's when you are the budget free to play player where you're free to play and you haven't built up anything, you've got nothing in the bank. That's a slog, man. Well, there goes your pack opening story for the day, I suppose. But just, oh, man, I've never done that. I've never opened the wrong pack.
Well, I did it for you, so you don't ever have to make this mistake now. Everybody listening at home, I've made the mistake for you. Just double check what pack you're actually buying. Because, you know, for some reason, when I signed on to my other account, you know, when I just clicked in the thing, immediately it was like, oh, yeah, of course, this guy wants to buy, you know, the brand new set. But no, my EU account was like, nah, this guy wants Beat Streets of Gadget Sand.
Jeez. Unbelievable. Well, as for me, I actually got up to rank 5 on my EU account.
Wow.
I attended class. So I'm in my last semester in college. I'm getting my degree. You know, everything's winding down. All three of my classes that I'm taking, the last test is final, but attendance is mandatory and our projects are done. So you literally just have to show up. So I've been attending class and grinding up on my EU account and got to rank 5 on my EU account playing a deck that we're going to discuss later in the show. And overall, it's been pretty good. I'm at rank 23, though, on NA. So I think we're going to work on grinding that up on stream throughout the week. So that,
double legend,
for the most part.
Double legend?
Yeah, right. No way. I don't have nearly enough time. I play way too much Overwatch.
You have enough time.
I play way too much Overwatch.
All right, at least one. You better get legend in you, buddy.
No way.
It's day 10 of the month, and you're rank what, 5? You said 5, right?
Yeah, rank 5. That's but like 2 days. I'm not going to touch it again. I'm not going to touch the account again. It's like the 50% point. Rank 5 is the halfway point.
Not even a good win rate. Just win like 10 in a row.
Oh, okay. There's the secret. Jeez, let's go to the news.
Write that one down. Write it down.
This Week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
Before we do jump into the news, we want to thank our friends of the show, Albert T., The Real Ben, Corel, and Variatus. Variatus. I'm so sorry. I think that's how we say it. Anyways, let's go ahead and discuss the week. By the way, if you like the show, you want to support the show so we can do a sweet post-show matches and watch Tannen get beat 2 weeks in a row.
It's been rough.
Bring on excellent guests and make the show sound better and look better. Not plastic surgery-wise, but in other aesthetic ways. And you want to support the show because of the entertainment we provide, head on over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. So pack openings. Mean Streets of Un'Goro. Nope. Journey into Un'Goro is live. And we are 5 days into the meta. And let's discuss our initial launch impressions and what has gone on there. We kind of already talked about some pack opening stories, but just overall feelings on Un'Goro and the launch experience. Servers, you know, for me, I'll go first because you guys got to go first before. The servers were really crappy on launch day. Not their fault. They have millions of people, probably hundreds of thousands at least, trying to log in, hammering the servers, trying to purchase packs and open packs. Like, that's really server heavy stuff. So it makes sense. I didn't get in until 5 hours after launch. And then that's when I kind of finally got in, and I had no issues at all. But I tried at like 11, right when it opened up, and I tried again at like 1, still wasn't having it. So then I'm like, whatever, we'll just go ahead and wait, and ended up playing a little bit before the payload. But overall, it was great. My pack openings. So this was, some people have been really boned by these pack openings, and sorry, I was almost one of those persons coming into pack 10 out of 54. So out of my last 10 packs, I had only opened up one legendary, and it was right up on like the 37th or 38th pack. So it was like right up on that pity timer, and I'm like, well, this sucks. And it was Pyros. So it's like, cool, I get to play a really slow mage deck if I want to play any relevant Un'Goro deck with any relevant Un'Goro legendaries. I'm like, God, I hate my life right now. And then in the last 5 packs, I had 4 legendaries. And what? So, yeah. So I went 5 legendaries in 54 packs. Whoop, whoop. And the thing is, most of them weren't very good. The only good ones I got is I got the priest quest and then the neutral legendary that when you play a minion, it activates the death rattle right away. Mm-hmm. So like those are the only two. And the other ones were like Pyros and Osric or something, and just not very awesome legendaries. But overall, really enjoyable. Did it on stream, so it was a lot of fun. Sam, what about you? How was your initial launch experience?
So I took my lunch break to open up some packs, which was kind of a poor decision. I had figured that there would be some server issues, because there's always server issues in the past. I mean, how hard is Blizzard going to bolster their servers?
Accounting don't say for like bolster this, on the this. Podcast, by the way, because JR.
Oh, sorry. Like,
you'll hear him echo through eternity every time because he's a huge fan of Bolster Warrior. So you'll hear his Bolster Warrior rant coming from 10 miles away. Sorry, continue.
Gotcha. You know, Blizzard's not going to worry about the 0.1% of time that, you know, the servers are going to be, you know, absolutely slammed. So I don't know. I don't know what I expected. Maybe I get lucky and get into the door a little sooner. I got to open up actually a few packs, probably about 10, 15 packs before I was booted off because I was playing on mobile. I opened 150 something packs in total. Yeah, I know. I don't know what happened. But overall, I had like a super average legendary opening experience. You know, I got a golden legendary as the Spirit Singer Umbra or the Death Rattle. And that's super cool. And then a smattering of other legendaries. I've just been, you know, just checking out quests and checking out build around legendaries, stuff like that. But yeah, you know, not a very exciting story, but you know, I think that now more than ever, we need people to speak up about their very average data points when opening packs.
I love hearing about the outliers. That's my favorite part. Speaking of outliers, Tannen, any other pack opening stories for us, or was opening the wrong packs not enough?
Oh, that was just like salt in the wound of after like opening all my other packs and then the packs opened afterwards. Because I don't know, I lost count after like 55 packs that I've opened. I've got one legendary so far actually opened, and it's Himmet. Oh yeah, I'm gonna destroy half my deck. You know, all these cards that I put in there for some reason, I'm just gonna destroy them. I'm sure there's going to be some deck with that card or something. I don't know, but I haven't found one yet or one that I want to play with. So all the decks that I've been playing so far just had to straight up pay out of pocket for dust. So I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe I'll buy some more packs and get like 4 out of 5 like you did, but I don't know if I'm ever going to be that lucky.
Yeah, it's true. I'm a lucky guy. What can I say?
I did get a lot of golden cards. I will say that. I did get a lot of golden cards, like probably higher than normal rate. So at least I got some dust from that. So it can't all be a complaint.
What's your favorite golden that you opened?
I don't remember the name of it. It's like the I'm sure I remember the exact name. It's the rogue card. It's like one of the blossom cards or whatever. It has like the flower on it.
Oh, hallucinate? The one mana discover.
Yeah. Hallucinate. Oh. It looks so good.
Nice.
I'm actually playing a deck with the card right now that's very good. So
nice. Well, I guess that's our opening day experience, huh? You know what, though? This is better. You know what? I like to discuss other people's problems.
Ooh.
OPP. Other people's OPP, problems.
Yeah. OPP.
So.
Yeah, you know me.
Upon the. Man, that would be a good sounder. So the on the initial launch. You know, people are kind of trying to get into the servers, and I swear to God, this happens every time. Every single expansion, basically, influx of servers, stuff is kind of slow. I think people get kind of bored, and they go over to Reddit, and they start fabricating stories. And I genuinely think, like, maybe the first one story is true. But then, you know, people are like, you know what? I'm bored. I'm not in Hearthstone. I'm not in an awesome mood right now. I'm hopping on this bandwagon. Me too. Fakestats.com/Hearthstone. They go there and then they make up some fake stats. So basically there was a Hearthstone thread that turned into 2, that turned into 5, that turned into 20, that turned into multi-regional. And then the, anyways, all of this about the fact that there was a, uncommonly high amount of duplicates people felt that they were getting in their packs. And so people kind of started freaking out. And again, I think it was totally mob mentality. Me too. I think they just missed out on the free packs from Gadgetzan and they're just kind of salty about it and they just want the free packs. But they go ahead and it starts going kind of big and it's kind of taking over forums. It's taking over Reddit. So Blizzard, Reddit mods start kind of censoring these threads. And it took about 24 hours before we got an official response from Blizzard that ultimately says, we've seen a number of posts from our community today regarding Journey to Un'Goro packs and the possibility that they may be distributing an abnormally high amount of duplicate cards. We want to assure everyone that we have looked into this concern and found that Journey to Un'Goro card distribution is working properly, both at a per card and per rarity basis, and is consistent with previous Hearthstone releases. Thank you for bringing it to our attention. We really do appreciate all the feedback, even when related to possible bugs or concerns around the game. So basically, it just wasn't true. And anyone who like understands at least some level of statistics knows like you're going to have very polarized. Jocelyn Moffitt got 3 legendaries in 1 pack. And then Tannen gets 1 legendary in 54 packs or whatever it is. You know, like there is that aspect of statistics, but like people either through a bunch of uncanny happenstances or my guess, fabrication, kind of went ahead and, you know, made it into something bigger than it needed to be. Do you guys have any thoughts on this? Like, I think it's really fascinating the way that these things blow up. We demand an answer. The expansion hadn't even been out 24 hours before we got that response. It was very close to like that 24-hour mark. So it's like, it takes a little bit of time to go in, pull the stats, verify, check with your engineers, check with the game designers, you know, check all that stuff, and then write up something that PR approves at the very least. But people went ballistic. What did you guys think?
I mean, I found it entertaining. I always do. You know, it's the what's the little gif of the person sitting with the popcorn that people put on Twitter every time, you know, some drama starts or someone posts something like this.
Yeah.
Just take the tinfoil hats off and just open your damn packs. That's all I say.
And that's coming from a guy who opened up 1 legendary in 54. So
variance, man. Variance.
That's fair. That's good that you said it and not me. Sam, what about you? Any kind of thoughts or anything? Or are you just kind of like, meh?
I mean, when I first heard about it, I was like, oh my gosh, is something really wrong? And so I went into my collection. I was like, oh my gosh, I have 8 giant mastodons. It's over, guys. What are we going to do? And then I thought about it and I was like, oh, wait. Yeah. I mean, even though 20 people are talking about it on Reddit, 20 people that are angry with their experience, and then, you know, 3 million Hearthstone players total. So who knows? I think there's a little bit of confirmation bias there, but what I'm thinking about is, you know, the engineers over at Blizzard are like, I'm pretty sure this is right, but oh my God, what if it's not right? Like this, the minor, you know, patting your forehead with the towel over at Blizzard. Like, I hope everything's okay. Just might as well check it out. Aside from that, I think, you know, the overall experience, I agree. People want to stir stuff up, and they see something juicy on Reddit, and they just join up. But yeah, I enjoyed opening my packs. I enjoyed my 8 mastodons, and they're sitting nicely in my dust collection right now. So I would keep
all 8 and see how many mastodons you can open by the end of this expansion.
Right, especially when they get nerfed. You know, you get that full dust value when Giant Mastodon gets its well-deserved nerf.
Yeah, you're like, my time has come. I was ready for this. I knew.
Taunt's very powerful in this expansion.
Yeah, in every expansion, every card is better with Taunt. Yep. That's going to be the new title. Every card is better with Taunt. Boom. There it is. All right.
Confirmed.
Bye. All right. So that's it. We wanted to touch on it really quick and then just, you know, call 1-800 to calm the F down, because it's, you just got to relax a little bit. It's an awesome helpline, and they'll get you through it. I promise. So Hearthstone Global Games group stages begin this week, and I'm excited for this. This is the first time in a while that I'd be really excited to tune into some Hearthstone esports. Not the Hearthstone esports fault part, but the it was the meta, same decks. Ban Warrior, bring some form of whatever, Shaman, and, you know, all that Dragon Priest, Reno Lock, and then whatever else. So here's the schedule going on. So this week's schedule, April 11th at 1 a.m. Pacific time. Sorry, N.A. April 12th at 7 a.m. Pacific time. Sorry, N.A. April 11th at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Hey.
Hey, we got one.
At twitch.tv/ yeah, right. At twitch.tv/playHearthstone. Some notable matchups that I just pulled from this. We've got Sweden versus China on April 11th, match 4. And Russia versus Spain, match 5. Sweden, yep, versus China. I'm really excited to see how China will do.
They might, because Sweden is a very stacked lineup. And China is always strong, so.
Yep. So that's going to be a really exciting matchup. On April 12th, almost every single matchup is great. We've got Finland versus Norway, Netherlands versus Romania, Germany minus Ponyhoff and Sinto LOL versus Ukraine, France versus Canada, and the USA versus UK. Now, that is the day that started at 7 a.m. Pacific, which means that USA versus UK will probably be playing in early to mid afternoon for most people.
So, two things about that day that's pretty interesting. Netherlands versus Romania, there's like it's going to be an interesting dynamic because there's the bromance that's getting broken up in this one because Tice and RDU, like longtime teammates. I mean, these guys have been teammates since like, you know, the dawn of Hearthstone pretty much. And they're playing against each other for one of the first times in a team. So I'm really excited to see how that's going to be. These two guys, can y'all hear my puppy in the background?
Yeah,
is that what you're laughing at?
It's cute. Yeah,
her little cute bark. Sorry, guys. And then I'm pretty excited about USA versus UK, obviously. And you brought up a really good point here that we're going to probably get to see it since it starts at 7 a.m. and it moves. But here's the thing. It's going to be at a weird time for one of the teams, right? Like the USA players are going to have to get up really early or the UK players are going to be up really late. So we're going to see how that affects some of the play possibly in this matchup too. And then every other matchup that day is really solid as well. I'm very excited about watching at least the VODs of most of these matches.
Right. Yeah, April 12th is the day that I wouldn't want to miss. But the VODs are all there. Sure. You have to see the VODs for sure. And then April 14th, there's only two matches that day. Australia versus Argentina and Brazil versus Indonesia. So those are all of it. Overall, I think there's 12 matches in total, 5 on day 1, 5 on day 2, and 2 on day 3. So overall, pretty excited. Sam, I don't know if we've gotten your thoughts, but are you excited for Hearthstone Global Games? Are you a Hearthstone esports guy or?
I'm more of an at home type of pro. I'm definitely going to tune in. I'm going to root for my country. Are you kidding me? But in terms of who wins at all, I just want to see some good Hearthstone, much like my opinions towards baseball. That'll be the only B word that, you know, we say today.
That's strike two.
I know John doesn't like it. Yeah, there you go. I'm excited to see some of the decks that are brought. What's popular on the different servers? What's popular around the world? I'm especially excited to see the role of Quest, like OTK Mage, in these tournaments because I have a feeling it's going to be. I don't really understand. I don't think the world understands its place in the tournament scene yet. It's kind of like Freeze Mage, but not. And you sort of have to survive on these random cards that you get. And I'm excited to see what people do with it, if it's brought at all. But more importantly, you know, what's going to be brought in general.
Yeah. What about you, Tannen? I know you've been excited about this tournament, but what are you most excited about? Besides Team USA?
Well, I mean, yeah, you know me, I'm a big national pride guy, but honestly, just the decks. I mean, like, this is the first real big tournament we're going to have with Ungaro with like something really big on the line. These people are representing their countries. So they're not going to want to mess up. They're not going to want to suck. You know, you're going to want to win. So I want to see the decks that these people come up with because it's not just, you know, someone being like, oh, these are the four or five decks I've had a chance to play with, you know, since the set came out, because you have your entire team now collaborating. And I'm assuming these people are working together because it probably should be. There's a reason why these people are on your team. They're all very good Hearthstone players. So I'm really excited to see what these great team minds have come up with, because it's going to be good.
Yeah, I love that Hearthstone Esports is getting more and more regionally based. Well, I meant Blizzard Esports in general, right? Because Overwatch League, come on, baby. Overwatch League is, you know, going to be regionally based, and getting these regional tournaments in Hearthstone, I think, is really fun. Even if it doesn't end up leaking into HCT more than NA, EU, or I guess the Americas, EU, what is it, APAC, and China, right? Whatever it ends up being. So, like, you've got, like, that. Even if it never ends up being, you know, kind of distilled more than that, I still love that aspect of esports, and I think that it's the next natural progression point for just esports in general, Hearthstone probably being one of the few exceptions to that.
I wanted to say one thing to kind of piggyback on what you're saying. It's just a small little shout out kind of off the side, but I love that you brought up the esports thing with Blizzard. I just want to give a small shout out to my alma mater, LSU, making the grand finals of the Heroes of the Dorm. Over the last week.
Oh, that's right. Congratulations.
I don't watch that game. I don't play that game, but I definitely tuned in to watch my college. And so, like, that was so cool to see that kind of thing happen, because I would have never watched it otherwise.
Nice. I need to figure out that Heroes of the Storm stuff and the Heroes of the Dorm thing, because my Twitter feed is always blowing up about it and I don't get it. I think I'm just not mobily inclined. Mobily inclined. So we'll have to see. Anyways, that's what's coming up this week for HGG. Let's jump into some of the meta stuff.
Journey to Un'Goro.
How did you convince me to do this?
Journey to Un'Goro.
Whatever.
So that's what we're going to do. So this week, we're going to talk about the meta a little bit and what we've been seeing. But I actually, for sake of time, I want to go into a new meta segment we're going to be piloting over the next few weeks called Gain or Entertain. And the idea is very simple. We're going to highlight one of two decks, either one that will help you climb up the ladder, gain, or another that we thought looked really fun to play, entertain. And then we'll discuss some of the matchups, key ways to play the decks, mulligans, and more. This week, we're going to discuss a gain deck. And part of it's just because I was sick all weekend and I couldn't find a lot of entertain decks. There are a lot of them out there, but none of them that I felt like were good enough and would have lasting power to say that we could talk about this coming week and not in the past. So we're going to go ahead and do that. And that deck that we're going to talk about is none other than a Caverns Below deck. And I apologize, Tannen, Sam, your things are switched. So I have to switch them back. Patience, young Padawan. Oh, that was easier than I thought it would be. Anyways, so this is the deck. And for those listening on mobile, here is the deck that we're going to be discussing. It's a Caverns Below deck, so it's a rogue quest deck, but it's kind of teched differently. It's got two backstabs, two preparations, two shadow steps, two fireflies, one patches. You guys thought you got rid of patches, huh? Two South Sea Deckhands, two Swashburglers, the Caverns Below, two Eviscerates, two Gadget Sand Ferrymen, two Novice Engineers, two Youthful Brewmasters, an Edwin Van Cleef, two Van of Knives, two Igneous Elementals, a Tar Creeper, and two Vanishes. So here is what I want to say right now. This deck is really controversial because there are a lot of different versions of Quest Rogue out there, and a lot of people are really unhappy with the overall. Basically, they're getting their butt whooped by it, and they're a little bit hurt by it. But I will tell you this right now. If you are following the meta changes of this deck and how it's changing day to day, hour to hour, it is one of the most fascinating and best examples of micro meta whatever adaptation, I guess, that you will find in the game. And even if you're like, I don't want to play, you know, questing rogue, you're going to play against it. Hopefully it ends up being helpful. But I think most importantly, if you start to pay attention to these micro meta adaptations, TM, I'm going to trademark that, micro meta adaptations. And if you start to pay attention to those, the game will make more sense. You'll be a better Hearthstone player and you'll be able to speak at a higher level why cards are in your deck and why they aren't and when and why you can tech them in or out. So that's my spiel. If I see any more Dan's games in chats, I'm going to ban you. I will ban you. I will take that well-met hammer and I will ban you. Anyways, that's it. So, Tannen, tell us a little bit about the overall philosophy, the big idea behind Questing Rogue. For those who haven't played it yet or haven't played against it well enough to even know what it's designed to do.
All right, so it's all obviously around the quest, the caverns below. So when you play the same minion four times, or the minion of the same name four times, you get to play this quest that makes all of your minions 5/5s. So what this deck does is it just wants to churn through itself as quickly as possible, obviously triggering its quest, and then abuse that quest as much as possible. The preparations are there practically just to make the quest cheaper for the turn that you play it, so you can keep going off. You don't want to spend your entire turn playing the quest, because now you're going to fall too far behind in the game to do anything. And so you have cards like Novice Engineer and Youthful Brewmaster kind of reset your cards to go off over and over and over again. And you have cards like Shadow Step doing the same thing as Youthful Brewmaster and the Ferryman and stuff like that. So there's a lot of redundancy in the deck. It's very much a combo deck. And then once you have all your cards being 5/5s, the game gets kind of academic from there, right? Like you're playing all these like 1 and 2 drops that replace themselves or have charge, and they're 5/5s. So I've seen someone activate this quest very quickly, play it as early as like turn 3, and then I'm just dead on the next turn. Because they play 4 5/5s and I'm playing like maybe one card.
It's dangerous, yeah.
Oh yeah. This deck's extremely powerful, extremely good, and forgiving, but you need to play it a good bit because you need to know when you can like move and when you can't, and when you need to like hold back and stuff. I'm still learning. I haven't had a chance to play with the deck a whole ton. I know you have, John, but I know that it's been kicking my butt right now as well, too. I've seen some iterations that are way more focused on charge, you know, stuff like Stone Tusk Boar and stuff like that, but I like this version a lot. This seems like one of the best and cleanest versions I've seen. What are your thoughts with the deck so far? Do you think this deck is like actually broken, like some people are saying it is? Or do you think it's just because it's like one of the better decks to come out, you know, like day one, pretty much?
For me, this deck is a deck that will, if you aren't caught up on it, it's not that good of a deck. Someone's like, 47% win rate deck, go. And I'm like, yeah, the iterations from 3 or 4 days ago, you're right. Because this deck, as you said, has gone from charge to anti-aggro to kind of a more tempo-based thing to miracle. There's a miracle version of this that runs Gadget Sands. And it's changed very much in that sense. And so it can very easily be bad. But at the same time, I don't think that this is a deck that is, I don't think it's going to be like Handbuff or Paladin or Jade Druid at the beginning of the expansion where they were there for a week and everyone was like, oh, this is broken and then done. And I don't think at the same time, I don't think it's going to stay tier 1, tier 0. But if you watch some of the best players pilot this deck, it's very obvious how quickly and how easily these games can get away from the opponent. And I think that's what's kind of really cool to see. And it's also one of the few decks where it's like you have this quest clock, right? Where not only are you worried about what you're putting on the board against your opponents, but you're also worried about what their quest clock is at. Are they at 0 out of 5? Are they at 4 out of 5? And that affects your play. And I think it affects a lot of people's nerves more than it normally would, just because it's a brand new idea. So it's like, I don't know. I think it's I think it's a really interesting kind of idea. I can't say for sure if it's going to stay. It's got some bad matchups for you.
Right.
Brilliant, creative, and fun-loving people playing Pirate Warrior. You know, doesn't do great against that one. It also doesn't do awesome against, where is my matchups? Midrange Hunter, which is one of my favorite decks to kind of play. So like there are some of those still, but I'd say if you are, you know, below rank 5, even we can say rank 10, and you haven't at least played a few games with a Questing Rogue deck to understand it more, you're doing yourself a disservice. You need to get and understand this probably for the next week or two before you've seen it enough and known it enough, because the mulligans and stuff aren't exceptionally easy either. So
they're not super intuitive. Like you need to have like a lot of like reps of the game or the deck.
Sorry, say that again. It cut out.
Is it the mulligans aren't like super intuitive? It's like more like experience of the deck. You need a lot of reps.
Yeah, it's not. Now, the nice thing is you can kind of break mulligans into aggro and anti-aggro, or not anti-aggro, but like more standard mid-range to control. So you can kind of break your mulligans into that. But within that, there's a lot of, and this has always been the case with Rogue, there's a lot of, do I have the coin or do I not? And that changes what you keep quite a bit. Edward Van Cleef. So... You know, there's a lot of those aspects to it. Should we go over kind of the notable packages?
I wanted to ask Sam something real quick. Sam, have you played against this yet? You've been playing quite a bit, right?
Yeah. So I mean, I haven't the deck that I play plays a lot of big taunt minions really quick in the game, so it performs rather well against the 5/5s because it doesn't really matter how big they are. How much health they have, because it's against 7/8 taunts and whatnot. But what I will say, you know, just first impressions wise, seeing this particular deck list is that it's, I always judge a deck's effectiveness on ladder on how big, air quotes, how boring it looks. Like how none of the cards look like they're out of place. None of the cards look like, all the cards make sense. They make too much sense, which makes me worried. And this deck is really good. John was just saying he had like a 86% win rate climbing on the ladder. That's insane.
Jesus.
That's absolutely nuts.
To be fair though, I mean, I'm pretty good. Just kidding. No, I'm not. I'm awful at Hearthstone. So I look for these broken decks. That's my meta game.
Right. I think Morose was in the meta for about a day and a half, which was awesome. I'm so glad that, you know, Morose was here in this deck because he was a 5/5 that generated 5/5s. But it was cut in exchange for, you know, probably more bounce effects. We've got 10 in the deck, which, you know, there's a lot of redundancy. There's a lot of cheap charge minions. There's patches, which speaks for itself. But there's no screwing around with this deck. There's no frills. There's no fluff in this deck list, which makes me think that it will perform rather well.
Yeah. Well, let's.
All right.
Let's,
so
go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say you were talking about diving into it. Let's do it.
Great. Let's do it. So there, I kind of try to compartmentalize this deck as best as I can, because like I said, this is a very dynamic deck. This is a deck that can take you from a 30% win rate and changing 5 cards, you're back up at 70% again at a lot of ranks on the ladder. It's really insane in that respect. So obviously you have the Caverns Below. That's the quest that is, it activates when you play four of the same minion during the game. Relatively easy to do with Rogue in this respect. And then basically once you get that, you get a 5-mana spell that makes all of your minions 5/5s. So pretty neat. You also notice that's why there are no minions that are run over 3 mana And we actually talked, I forget what we ended up saying about this quest on this show, but I remember I said, I really like it. And I know one person was like, this will never work. We'll just say it's JR this week.
It was probably me. I hated on a lot of the quests.
So you've got the caverns below, and then you've got your bounce back card. So you've got Shadow Step times two, Youthful Brewmaster times two, Gadgets and Ferryman times two. So those are the six that you have there, right? And then Vanish, right? Which is, that's one of the cards that are kind of interesting to me in this deck. And it's basically only good when you're getting out-tempoed by a lot.
I mean, it killed me like on the ladder today too. Like somebody just had a decent board set up with a couple chargers, and like I had a taunter, and like they just prepped out a vanish, and then, you know, played three. Well, like they played like Stone Tusk Boar into a patches, and I was like, yeah, I'm just like too far behind again now.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of nuts. Then you've got the elemental package. Now the elemental package here is by far the most versatile part of this deck. This is the part of the deck that can be that's we've seen a charge package like you were talking about before. We've seen a combo package. We saw the Morose and Mimic Pods and some of those other different decks that are cards that Dog ran in his version of the deck there. But the elemental package is pretty cool because the deck runs Igneous Elemental, which puts two flame elementals in your hand when it dies. Firefly also adds a 1/2 flame elemental to your hand. It's the same card as Battlecry. So you have a card's Death Rattle and a card's Battlecry that feed the same card into your hand. It's more than likely going to be the way that you end up activating that quest, which is pretty cool. You have Preparation because you're playing Rogue. You have Eviscerate because you're playing Rogue. You have those things. You have Edwin Van Cleef because you're playing Rogue. It's also awesome versus Aggro and Druid. Aggro and Druid, getting that Rogue. We'll talk about Mulligans in a second, but in the Mulligan phase, if you've got coin, you keep Van Cleef, especially like you almost always keep Van Cleef against Druid. But you've got that option to just put out a big 6/6, 8/8 Van Cleef on turn two and turn three. It's just ridiculous. So Van Cleef is there. Then you've got Tar Creeper. Now, Tar Creeper, I have to remember the exact, I don't want to butcher it because I forget that we're an audio podcast.
It's a 3-mana 1/5 taunt that gain +2 attack on your opponent's turn.
Yes, it's one of those that gains attack, you know, gains stats on your opponent's turn. It's an anti-aggro tech, but it's also awesome. It's a 5/5 for three and right, a 7/5 on your opponent's turn. So, you know, that's pretty neat too. But that's like another anti-aggro. The way that this deck loses a lot of the time is faster decks. And so this is one of the ways that you slow that down. And then last but not least, Vanish. It's just in case, it's panic, it's a quest activator. And once you've got your quest activated, you're spamming 5/5s for 1, 2, and 3 mana while your opponent is not spamming 5/5s for 1, 2, and 3 mana, basically. So that's kind of it. And like I said, if you're going to play this deck and you're expecting to climb with it, you have to pay attention to streams and the competitive Hearthstone subreddit. If you don't want it to get teched against on a day-to-day basis, every morning I'm checking for a new list of this. This is by far the best way that I've seen it kind of all the way down, just kind of separated so that you can understand it well. Whew, how did I do, Tannen?
I was blown away, actually, John. I think this is the most in-depth I've ever heard you talk about a deck, and I was actually really impressed. I'm very proud of you.
Hey, thank you.
I don't
mean
for that to sound condescending at all.
But I mean, it is, because I normally have to ask the questions, so I don't get to go in depth. I like being asked the questions. We should do this more often.
It's interesting to have the roles reversed for a minute. You know, I host another podcast. I can do it.
Yeah. So, what else do we need to hit on for this deck? Mulligans?
Well, I mean, you kind of mentioned it a little bit, like you kind of like said it in passing twice. What are its like main real problems, and what decks do you think like really beat it? And is there any way to kind of like fix that, or do you just accept your losses?
There are like Pirate Warrior, pretty much GG. It just kind of is. You kind of need a nut draw to do it. And then, you know, there's very few ways that you can do it. But like I said, those people hate fun. They're the type of people who walk their dogs and then let them poop wherever they want. They're the type of people who they live in an apartment complex. They put out their trash, you know, at the end of the night to be picked up by the trash collector, and they don't tie their bags closed. You know, those type of people, I guess. I'm just kidding. If you're playing Pirate Warrior, it's a joke. Settle down. Carl, put down the keyboard. It's a joke. You guys know that I ran Aggro Shaman for like 2.5 months. So I'm one to talk, but I do pick up poop after my dog. Anyways, the easiest way I can break it is against aggro and against slower decks. I don't want to say control. I don't want to say anti-aggro. But against slower decks, Warrior is going to be the tough one because you have Taunt Warrior going out and you have Pirate Warrior. Always mulligan for Pirate Warrior until Taunt Warrior becomes more prominent and Pirate Warrior becomes less punishing. That's what I do.
I have a question about the Pirate Warrior matchup with this deck. Is the objective as a rogue versus these hyper aggro decks, is the objective to complete the quest? Or is it to, you know, use your cards to sort of stave off the Pirate Warrior until they run out of resources? Or, I mean, I guess there's not a whole lot of taunt in the deck, so there's not much you can do against the charging and the weapons. But just as far as minion control, do you think that your resources would be better put towards completing the quest? Or do you think that they'd be better put towards just getting stuff on the board and making sure that you're not being overwhelmed?
I mean, you have backstabs. You have like South Sea deckhands. You have your weapons. That's like what the pirate package is for, is that's your early anti-aggro tech. That's designed to give you control of the board, because I've kind of said it and jokingly, you know, before, it is not difficult to complete this quest. Believe it or not. And once you play against one, you will realize how undifficult it is to get that activated. So, you know, for me, I usually like one or, you know, if I get a backstab and like a big Van Cleef, it's just kind of GG. At the same time, if you're not dealt with, I don't keep minions in my hands to play more minions or things like that, or to be like, oh no, I need this for the quest. I don't throw away the quest against Pirate Warrior or anything like that. So it's pretty much once you get that out there, but yeah, when you're looking at that aggro, you're keeping your bouncers, you're keeping your elementals. Tar Creeper is, I'm maybe 50-50 on when I've kept Tar Creeper and when I've not. The only time that I've kept Tar Creeper and I've got a higher than 50%-ish win rate is on the coin. Makes sense because I'm getting that out on turn two. You're keeping pirates, obviously, not patches, and you're keeping Edwin with the coin. The big thing is there is you're not keeping novice engineers against aggro. It's too slow. The card draw is likely not going to help you as much. Obviously, you're not keeping vanishes. So honestly, like what I just said, what aren't you keeping, right? You're keeping just about everything. That's why the mulligans in this deck can be so strong. Slower decks, you're looking for, you know, swashburglers, right? You're outvaluing them at this point. You're drawing cards. I'm not keeping backstabs. I'm not keeping deckhands. I'm trying to outvalue them and get that quest going as quickly as possible. Against aggro, the objective is staying alive, and you're going to inevitably put that quest together. Against slower decks, the objective is getting that quest finish ASAP. So, yeah, that's kind of how it is for the mulligans.
That's interesting that you are don't keep your South Sea deck hands against control decks, because that increases your chance of playing patches as a 5/5 with charge from your hand, which makes it not bad. It makes it not a bad card.
Right.
Which is why I like patches in this deck so much, is that, you know, it's an anti-aggro card, but it also functions as a 5/5 with charge for one mana. I think it's a great pick. And I think that throwing back South Sea Captain and not just putting it on the field as a 1 with charge against control decks, that's a really good move. Really heads up play.
Yeah, it's something you only find from like playing a bunch and figuring out like this just isn't good enough. Like the way I've been playing this card, I need to find a different way to get more value. Yeah. That's a really good catch there, John.
Yeah. Look at me. I like this. Ask me more questions. No, I'm just kidding.
He's got the biggest head ever after this episode.
I know, right? Keep it coming.
We need to pubble him down at some point during it.
The last couple things I want to hit on. Worst matchups we already discussed, Pirate Warrior, Midrange Hunter. But it really staves off all the other aggro decks fairly easily. Rank 5 is where I started noticing that you have to even dig your tech down even farther. So there's that. Second thing is Dog hit rank 1 with his Legend Quest Rogue early on. And it's probably the most popular build. This deck, I'm about 56% win rate against Dog's version of it. So I think it is slightly favored, but it is, it can be easily lost. But also know that if you're playing against a rogue, the version of rogue I'm expecting right now is Dog's version of this rogue. And I think that's why this deck is better, because that's what most people are kind of playing around. I think Mimic Pod is too slow and unreliable. Morose is just a win more card, and the elemental package is designed to replace kind of those cards, but it also is better against aggro, in my opinion. You guys want to hear my cheesy tech pick? And this one is thanks to user on Reddit, GARG56DAY265UT says, Glocka Crawler could be sweet if we see more Pirate Warrior, but it's super greedy tech decision. So if you don't remember Glocka Crawler is the 2-mana 2/3 with the battle cry, destroy a pirate and gain +1/+1. But if you have rogues and warriors running the pirate package, it actually might be worth it. It actually might be worth it if you're getting crushed by it. I'm just not ready for it yet. And then I cannot reiterate this enough. It evolves way too quickly. This deck evolves so freaking quickly. If you're running the same deck list you were running 48 hours ago, you're out of date. So you need to go look for updated deck lists for it. Know which cards are weak against the different archetypes. But if you do, I think this one's going to continue to be strong. Like I said, right now, this one's very good against hyper-aggressive decks, minus Pirate Warrior, because it has a lot of one drops, but it's not running greedy, like cheeky little taunts and like just like the most, you know, that greedy anti-aggro guy you run into every once in a while and you're playing like a strong aggro deck, and one guy just like typed in taunt in the collection manager and just threw everything that he could in there. There's people like I've seen kind of try to run that type of rogue list there. I don't think it's as good. I don't think it's as smart either, but I think it'll get us a win, but I think it's phasing out. But yeah, you need to stay caught up. That's it. What else should I hit on? Is that all right? I know it was a lot of me this week, but it's my fault. And that was because I was sick all weekend, so these guys didn't get the notes, so they couldn't prepare as much. So, boo on John. Hey, John. Ooh. Fair enough.
Oh, come on now.
I appreciate this, that, great job.
Yeah, this segment's awesome. Definitely. Yeah,
I think it is, but I would love to include you guys more because you're going to have smarter, better opinions once you have almost 100 games on this deck like I do. And so I actually have more. I think I have like 135 at this point. So I've got a lot
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Hey, John, what deck do you think I'm going to play tomorrow?
I think you are going to play
this one. This one.
Oh, this one. You're going to play this one.
Yeah.
Cool. Let me know how it goes. Hope it does well.
Cool. Well, apparently I'm already behind in the deck or whatever because you know I haven't changed my deck in the last 48
hours.
You've
got 140 games to play in the next couple days.
Well, the deck's fast enough. I can get it done.
So this is it. This is our segment that we're going to be doing for a little bit in Gain or Entertain. And the big thing I want to say, number one, we want to hear your submissions for this. So if you found a really entertaining fun deck, or if you found a really good ladder deck or a ladder deck that you're running against, you see often, but you don't understand how it works, send us an email about it. We're still going to discuss the meta every week. We're still going to do that and kind of do the tier list and things. Right now it's too in flux. And we don't want you, these are the first couple weeks of expansions. You should be exploring, having fun.
One.
Doing those things. Yeah. So, that's it. Let's, can we talk about some firesides here?
Oh, please. Sure. Yes, we can.
So we have fireside gathering coordinator extraordinaire, innkeeper, Whoa. Master, and, I don't know. I'm out of titles. Anyways.
That's so nice of you to say all that about me, John.
Sam Benson and not Tannen Grace. On the show, and we brought him on specifically because last week we discussed the new fireside gatherings client systems coming through, and we wanted to get a more educated head on it rather than ooh, that's geotagging. Now, when you're there, you get this, but we wanted to hear how it would affect an actual innkeeper. So, Sam, I don't know. Is there anywhere that you'd like? Well, let's just start here. You've been on the show a few times. You've been doing fireside gatherings a long time. How welcome are these changes for an innkeeper like yourself?
I think they're game changing. To go over the changes really quick, I don't want to. I know we talked about them last week, but I just want to bring it up just so everyone's on the same page. So innkeepers that are having events, they're going to get to create their own taverns, which are these big signs you can, you know, do. You can design your own on the Fireside Gatherings website at some point. And when players come to your firesides, the sign will swing down. It'll say like, "Oh, welcome to the KC Firesides Tavern." People are going to come in, and the friend list is going to say, you know, who else is in this tavern, and it's going to be. They're going to be keeping track of this with geotagging, and they're going to be using the GPS function or, you know, any number of, you know, location finding techniques to figure out where you are and to, you know, perform actions in the game according to where you are. And this is huge for innkeepers. Previously, we've just been working there. It's up to the innkeeper to create all the pull for these events. To get people out of their doors, the burden of effort is on the innkeeper. Mm-hmm. You know, Blizzard can, the Fireside Gatherings program can advertise it on their website, which is amazing. And there's a new window. It's on the Blizzard app. It's the new Discover a Fireside Near You. It used to be a couple of singing jolly dwarves. Now it's like a nice little animated lantern. We're getting a little bit of a UI update, getting a little bit more polished. So this is previous where, you know, the innkeepers were, it's all up to the innkeepers to get people out of the door. But now innkeepers have another tool at their disposal, which is these new features. They can get people out of the door. People's natural curiosity about trying all the new things about the game is going to provide that extra incentive to get out the door and go to these firesides. Because in my opinion, it only takes people to go to one fireside to be hooked. When people when people get together and play Hearthstone or and drink beer at a brewery or have side events at some LAN center or just play sitting next to each other and be like, oh, that was a really bad draw, or oh my god, I used to do that. Just being able to look over someone's shoulder and experience the game with them in real time, that's what makes the firesides worth it. Just being a part of the community. So these features are an excellent, excellent addition to the overall Fireside Gathering experience. And they're going, I don't think that they're Fireside defining right now. I don't think that it's going to make an entire Fireside Gathering the magic that it is. It's still up to the innkeeper to provide other, you know, sources of entertainment, side events, tournaments, something like that. But this is an excellent addition to the toolkit that innkeepers have. There's also going to be special brawls that when you go to these events, it's going to, you know, anyone inside of this, you know, circle on the map is going to be able to play these special brawls. And these are, you know, alternative rules. These are games with special rules designed so that you have that looking over your shoulder experience in mind. The co-op brawls with, you know, Nefarian or the big mech, I forgot what his name was. But those tavern brawls last week, you were talking about it, John, where, you know, you would have to carry people on your back to sort of like, you know, you have to play really well in order to, you know, win those brawls, because you can only say well met and, you know, just, you know, just wow, or, you know, emote, as opposed to being next to each other and be like, okay, listen, this is what I have in my hand. If you do this, like, I'm going to punch you.
Of physical force is what's missing for Hearthstone. That's what I'm getting from this so far.
I can't endorse that, but the brawls,
it helps. It does help.
The brawls are going to be so much fun. I had a chance to try one out myself at the Innkeeper Summit.
Oh.
And I don't know how much I'm supposed to say, but that's about all I can say. But it's awesome. Ooh, and I can't wait to have people over and, you know, share these new brawls with them, like with everybody. They're going to be awesome. The Firesides team definitely, and the brawls team know what they're doing. Pat Nagel and the brawl team are always thinking of cool stuff to do. And just the one that I saw blew me away. And I can't wait for you guys all to see it.
You know, I am so happy that you're excited about the custom tavern brawls, because when we talked about it last week, that's what excited me the most, actually. And would probably one of the things that would draw me to a tavern brawl the most is something cool and like one of a kind. You know, the banner's cool and all that stuff too, but like the brawl specific to a Fireside Gathering that's like fun and interactive and like just like some one of a kind thing that you can't get anywhere else is a reason why I would come back. So I'm glad to hear that it excited you that much, because it means that it's going to actually beat my expectations. And I just can't wait for that.
But it's all what's cool about it is that, you know, it's also this new content for people that go to Fireside Gatherings or host one of their own. It's this extra bit of content. But what's really nice is that innkeepers can use that as a tool to enhance their events. You can have a side event based on, like, you know, the player or players who do the best at this specific brawl are going to, you know, win a prize. Or you can have leaderboards if it's like a co-op brawl. Or, you know, you can form your events around these social, fun, specific tavern brawls in a way that you can't really do with just the standard mode. Be like, okay, we're going to have a leaderboard of who played the more elementals in the game. Like that, you can do that. Or you can do this next tavern brawl that I don't know that I'm allowed to talk about. Sorry.
Fair enough. Don't get in trouble, please, because we need you for this insider knowledge. And if you blacklist yourself, we'll have to invite another Fireside Gathering person. And I don't think I'm going to like them as much as you.
Hopefully the next Fireside Gathering folks, the innkeepers, are going to be you two guys. I think you guys have both committed to hosting firesides of your own.
tried so hard.
I've already looked into it. I've already looked into it. I'm actually site finding right now, like trying to find an actual site fit for it that people can all go to, because we have the age, you know, thing as well. Like, we want to be able to make sure people under 21 can go. We can't just have it in a bar or something. So we're trying to find a site, like a gaming store that will provide us a
gaming
location.
Stores, universities, libraries, public spaces. These are all great places to do it.
I might be moving soon, which is why you heard everything put on hold, because I could have moved anytime between March and now and into May. So if I'm not moved by halfway through May, we'll be planning the fireside. So not making excuses, chat. I'm just making an excuse. Just making one.
You know, there are going to be these beta testers that are rolling out these features. So it's going to be a little bit before these features are going to be available to all innkeepers, because it's complex technology. I know that, you know, there are memes upon memes of, you know, the technology isn't there, but this is actually like some seriously game changing stuff, because it's, you know, the GPS features, it could, you know, you can, there's so much you can do with location data that we don't know. Like, who knows what Blizzard's planning to do with this added functionality? It's another tool that they get to use, as well as the tools that Fireside Gatherings can use. So I imagine that there are many, many possibilities on Blizzard's table that have to do with GPS tracking. So the fact that they're doing these beta testing and figuring out how reliable it is, or getting data about how it actually works, how people experience it, this is all really valuable stuff. And it might be frustrating because it's not available in your area, but when it comes out, it's going to have that special Blizzard polish that we all know and love.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm really excited about it. Fireside Gatherings 2017 are the new hotness. You heard it here first on Well Met Podcast, episode 104. And lots of cool stuff. And of course, we'll have Sam on more and more to discuss Fireside Gatherings and all the cool stuff going on. I'm hoping I get to see you this month. We'll see. I really want to make it happen. So that's going to do it for us, though. We've actually got a one best of three match between Tannen and Eric going on right after the show here at twitch.tv/BlizzPro. Sam, do you have anywhere to be? Do you got to go?
No, I'm cool. I'm game for whatever.
Will you cast with me for a best of three? Yeah. I need help is what I'm saying.
I'll do my best.
So yeah, I'm really excited for doing that. So Sam's going to hang out with us too. So make sure to hang out after the show for that. Emails. Well, now that you know about Gain or Entertain, send us your emails to wellmet@blizzpro.com with your thoughts, questions, comments on the show, and to send us deck lists and things that you think might be really cool for us to review. And Patreon. Tannen, do we have anything new going on in Patreon land this week?
Nothing new in Patreon land this week, John, but what can they do to change that for next week?
They can go to a internet browser, Opera, Netscape Communicator, Internet Explorer.
No, not that one. Not that one.
What else? Internet Explorer.
Just Command Shell. Just Command Prompt.
There you go. There's a few. And then I can't remember them all. Anyways, go there. Go up to the address bar, type in Google. And then go to Google, type in Patreon. From Patreon, type in /WellMetPodcast. No. Just do this. Go to your browser window, hit the address bar, and go to patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. We've got perks. We've got prizes. We've got post-show games to play and all that stuff. You can be a Patreon, a WellMet patron at patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. Yeah. That's it, right? I'm gonna hit it. Cool. iTunes reviews as well. We love your iTunes reviews. We'll read your 5-star reviews on the show. Not the reviews, but the name who leaves reviews. That's JR's job, and we'll make sure that he mispronounces it every week, because that's what we count on him to do. Last but not least, where everyone can find us and all that good stuff. Sam, you're up first as our guest. where can people find you throughout the week and any other shout outs you might have?
Absolutely. People can find me on Twitter at Ben_Samson. It's Sam Benson, but they're switched. You can also find myself and my good friend Robert at the KC Firesides podcast, where we dig a little bit deeper into the KC community of gaming and Hearthstone and the Firesides community in general. We have some awesome guests on, and our moms listen to it, which is really all we can ask for. Additionally, if you are interested in pulling up a chair to the Fireside Gathering community in Kansas City, you can visit kcfiresides.com. We're going to have events coming up, I think, about every month now. Usually it was every couple months, but we're going to be increasing the density of Firesides in Kansas City. So, you know, we're going to have one April 29th. Tickets are sold out for that one, but hopefully we're going to have one in May, June, July, August. It'll go on. We'll keep you posted, but if you want updates, follow kcfiresides.com.
Awesome. And Tannen, what about you? Shout outs for the week. Where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at TheTannenGrace. I'm also pretty active in the Facebook groups or the Patreon as well for Well Met Podcast. My shout out, I kind of said it earlier in the show, but I want to reiterate it. Go LSU, making the grand finals of the HOTS tournament, a game that I don't really follow too much, but it made me sit down and watch it. So anything that's going to get me more involved in esports, I'm all for. And good job by the young men over at Louisiana State University.
Nice. As for me, you can find me everywhere at Kicked Tripod. I'm streaming about 6 days a week right now, starting at like 3 p.m.
So much.
I'm streaming there a lot, so I'd love to hang out with you at twitch.tv/kicktripod. We're having a lot of fun, so I'd love for you to be able to join us. It is a lot of Overwatch right now, but I am streaming Hearthstone at least 1 to 2 days a week. So that is going on there, and that is going to do it for us. Thanks for joining us for episode 104 of Well Met. You can find us live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific at twitch.tv/blizzbro. Or find us on the following day for the audio where most of you listen to us anyway. You could, wrong button. There it is. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. And of course, tweet us at WellMetPodcast or email us at WellMet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas you have for the show. Thanks for tuning in for episode 104. There it is. We'll see you guys next week. And we'll see you right after the show for the best of three series between Tannen and Eric. Bye, guys.